on Midwest Week, remembering 50 years ago when I-74 was built through Moline. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Alma Gall, features writer for the Quad City Times. Alma, we always talk about the I-74 bridge, and yet there are really two of them, two separate ones. When were they built?
The first span opened in 1935, and the second span opened in 1960.
Okay. And so 50 years ago, we're talking in the late 60s, what did this single bridge look like in Moline and Bettendorf, and then why was that changed?
Well, 50 years ago, the second span was was in place because it opened in 1960. But 50 years ago, in 1969, was when construction began on what is now Interstate 74 through Moline. In other words, there was already a double span, and it carried a national highway, U.S. 6, so there was that connection. But now the government was making like a limited access, a controlled access freeway system, and that's what the construction was 50 years ago of that through Moline, and then the bridge had to be altered to accommodate that. When they were first built, when you went over the bridge from Bettendorf to Moline and vice versa, you drove down to street level on both sides. So they, as part of the interstate system, they elevated that. So you would not do that anymore. You would not come down to a stop sign. You would just keep flowing along. So it was the interstate system that was being built and the land acquired for 50 years ago. The bridges were already in place.
And remind us, what was the interstate highway system and how did this project and I-74 fit into that?
It was a plan of President Eisenhower. I think he got the idea maybe during the war that, there were limited access roads would make for faster travel, as he had seen that working in the war. And so he proposed what is called the Federal Aid Highway Act. And that was passed by Congress in 1956. And it called for this whole, I think, 41,000-mile network of interstates that would connect the country and make travel move fast in the event of an emergency, which nowadays, it almost makes you laugh because you think, yeah, like everybody tries to get out of town on this one interstate, how fast will that move? But of course, it would move faster than if it wasn't there. I mean, it is an improvement over two-lane roads with stop signs, but nobody can get out of town that fast when there's this much traffic.
Now, you wrote in your story about how the extension of I-74 through Moline affected the city. What were some of the changes that happened as a result?
It took away neighborhoods. I mean, they needed a new path through town, and they needed a wide path. So everything that was in the path of where it would be, that land needed to be bought up and cleared. So that included homes. It included at least one school, one church, the Oakwood Country Club, a lot of trees. I mean, that land was all purchased then by the city, the state of Illinois, and then some of that went through the courts, through condemnation, because people didn't want to accept the money that was given. They thought it was worth more. And then once it was all built up, there was an auction of buildings on property, so people could bid to buy buildings and move them if they so chose. They'd have to pay for the moving themselves, but they'd essentially get a free building. And this is what the couple that I profiled chose to do. It had been a family home for Jim and Vicki Peterson, and they bought it and had it moved, and they are still living in it today. Other people, like the Congregation of St. George Greek Orthodox Church, decided, well, we will just build a new church elsewhere. Our old one can be taken down. It was, sad because that was sort of their immigrant church built by their ancestors. But that is what they chose to do. They would move to a new location.
And the Petersons, did they have much trouble? I mean, it seems like moving a house would be a rather huge undertaking, but and
It
yet
does
they did
seem
it.
like a huge undertaking, but that was undertook a lot more years ago than it is now. I mean, nowadays we just tear stuff down and that be done with it. But then and back into the 1800s, moving houses, moving large buildings was not that unusual. I mean, yes, it seems like a huge undertaking, and I think it is, but it's doable, and people did it. And there were even brick apartment buildings that were moved for this project, at least three of them that I know of. So it can be done. It's just how you approach things, if it's worth saving or not.
And how about the project itself? It started 50 years ago. How long did it take before the interstate and the sort of the new bridge approaches were finished?
It finally was dedicated in December of 1975, which is interesting to me because I moved to the Quad Cities in 1977, 2 years later. And so I just accepted that, you know, this interstate system is here, the bridges are here, this is the way it is. I did not realize that it was finished so, you know, what had been so recently for me. So different, you know, portions of it opened at different times. When they were doing the approaches to the bridge for the interstate, there was a time when traffic, like is going to be now, was moved over, you know, to just one span, and then, you know, people were going both ways, this way and that, and you could literally be stuck on the bridge for a half hour if there was some trouble. But yeah, so that it was in portions, but finally dedicated in December of 1975.
And how about people in this area back then? Were they mostly happy with the new interstate and bridge, or were not really universally popular?
You know, I just talked to a few, and I don't really know, but I know that of the few I talked to, some thought, "Yep, that's great. You know, this is progress. This is how we get around. This is good for the city." Some people said, "Well, you know, it was kind of sold to them like, oh, this would really improve our economy," but really, it people don't stop when they're going through on the interstate; they just go through. And then there were others who thought it really, you know, just ruined Moline. So I think there were all different opinions, and how many were on which side or another, I do not know.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of towns that get a highway bypass, you know,
Yes.
that sure the traffic moves more efficiently, but it keeps moving and doesn't really stop very
Doesn't
often.
stop, no.
And how about the readers, Alma? Have you heard from many people that remember it and fondly or not about what
I have
happened?
heard from some, and one of the one that I will follow up on, and this is really interesting, is a woman whose parents collected everything, and they have a pamphlet that came out in 1935 when the very first span opened, and that is really interesting. I mean, to just first of all, it has a picture of just the one span, which looks kind of, you know, oh, one span, and then, you know, you have to think, oh, at that time, when that span opened in 1935, there was only one way to get across the river in the Quad Cities, and that was the government bridge. Centennial hadn't been built, you know, and then further out, of course, I-80, 280 did not exist. So this was just the second way to get through, and so it was a big deal. So you see the picture of the bridge, that's interesting. And then it was a toll bridge, and what I found really interesting on that is that they had a toll for a horse and carriage and a horse and a rider. So horses were still apparently a means of transportation then.